Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we are going to be doing part two of our two-part study on false prophets. We will pick back up today in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 is a rebuke to wicked pastors and false prophets. Today's false prophets would do well to heed the lessons of this chapter. We're going to read, now the entirety of Jeremiah chapter 23. This is probably the most complete package in the Bible dealing with how God feels about false prophets. Starting in verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of the pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All of my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priests are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, Yea, ye shall have peace, and they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or priest, shall ask thee, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet, and the priest, and the people that shall say, The burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, What hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, What hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, The burden of the Lord, therefore, thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, The burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, Ye shall not say, The burden of the Lord, therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. That's Jeremiah chapter 23. And my, what a condemnation of false prophets. That is probably the strongest passage in the Bible condemning false prophets. We are warned time and again of false prophets. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And then again in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ had this to say, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Notice that signs and wonders are associated with the false prophets in the end times. The apostate American church has much emphasis on signs and wonders in the charismatic movement that has crossed all denominational lines. It is a mark that identifies the fulfillment of end times Bible prophecy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9 says this, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." Revelation chapter 13 verses 13 and 14 say this, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." That's Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. And of course, we're talking about the Antichrist there in Revelation chapter 13. And notice that he uses false signs and wonders to deceive people with. Paul had this to say in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. "Listen carefully to this warning, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15 say this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Folks, just because an individual claims to be a man of God doesn't necessarily mean that he is. You will know him by his fruit, and you'll notice that it calls out Satan being transferred into an angel of light, and then it talks about his ministers. Satan has his ministers. I refer to those ministers as Satan's sinister ministers. And the American church today is consumed with false prophets, false ministers, false teachers, and the only way you can combat them is to know and apply the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 state this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And folks, in our day and time, in the year 2026, that spirit of Antichrist has consumed not just American civilization, but it has consumed the entire world. That's not to say that there are not Christians out there, because they are, but we're living in an age of deceit. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." Folks, if you're looking at the news reports over the last 10-15 years of professing Christian ministers who have fallen in the most evil sort of way, they have brought a reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, they have promoted one heresy after another. And if there ever was a day when the church is evil spoken of, it is today. And it's because of the conduct of those fallen ministers. People, everyday people in our society identify those ministers with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are not his. They belong to Satan. They are Satan's sinister ministers. Because of false prophets and Christians who will not live holy lives, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is profaned among the heathen. Many will not take a stand for biblical separation from false prophets and false doctrine because they are afraid of being accused of being unloving, of being judgmental, of being legalistic, or of being a Pharisee. Many are afraid of contention, but you must contend for the faith whether you want to or not. It is a Bible commandment. Jude verse 3 gives us this instruction. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Not only must we contend for the faith, but we must realize that there is a call that goes forth unto God's people to be separate. Separation is for our protection and for the protection of the church. And by the way, separation is a big doctrine throughout the Word of God. God has commanded even the people of Israel were to stay separated from the pagans around them. And that commandment is reinforced again in the New Testament. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and read verses 14 through the end of the chapter and pick up verse 1 in chapter 7. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Folks, I can say this just from observation. There in America today, there is no fear of God. And it's evidenced by all of the wickedness that's going on, not just in the country, but in our churches, folks. That is a very troubling thing. And I will guarantee you that the Lord is not pleased with what's going on in our churches. It's unbelievable some of the wickedness that's there. And I could speak a lot to it, but we don't have time for that here today. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11 says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." What we're talking about here is a commandment from God to separate from those who are evil, those lost people. We're to stay apart from them. That doesn't mean that we cannot witness to them, but we're not to fellowship with them. And the Bible has strict commandments dealing with that. And we'll see another one of them here in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. Let's read that passage of Scripture. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Another commandment to mark those that cause divisions contrary to what the Bible teaches. And then we've got a passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 that state this: Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Another warning from the Word of God to mark people and to avoid those people. Revelation 18:4 says this: And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And we have that same warning in the book of 2 John. We're warned that we are not to be partakers with the sins of other people. We are to separate from them. And what is the price to be paid if we will not be separated from false doctrine, worldly lust, and false prophets? One of the saddest commentaries in our Bibles comes out of Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. Let's go and read that passage of Scripture. And keep in mind, this comes back out as a consequence of having rejected the Word of God. Starting in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 6, To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye, nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Those are some very serious consequences identified there, because these folks have rejected the word of God. And that plague is eating the church up, the professing church in America, and really throughout the world, is being eat up because they have rejected the word of God for the commandments and doctrines of men. And my appeal to any pastor or preacher would be this, the call that goes forth from the word of God in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, where we have this. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Crickets, folks. That's what he heard. Crickets. Because they had been caught and they had been convicted of having embraced Baal instead of God. And I would encourage, if you're a man of God today, that you stand up and defend the Bible, defend the God of the Bible. Just stand is what you need to do. Joshua 24, verses 15 and 16 would be a good call to have here. Verse 15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Let me state this in the strongest possible terms. If you do not have any backbone, then God has not called you to preach or teach the word of God. Sadly, we've come to a time in American churches where God knows most men today for what they will not preach on. The prophet Elijah could come to the average preacher's meeting today and legitimately state, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Folks, there's not a penny's worth of difference between the prophets of Baal and today's average preacher. With very few exceptions, there's no sure word of prophecy in the land. Most preachers today are scared to death of their congregations. Any preacher that claims he has been called to preach would do well to heed the instruction of God to the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel and to Pastor Timothy. Turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 10 there. This is a charge, if you will, to pastors or anyone who would desire to be a teacher or preacher of the Word of God. Verse 6 in Jeremiah chapter 1. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Then we have in continuing on in Jeremiah chapter 1 in verses 17 through 19, God said this, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." If you will preach and teach the word of God as commanded by God, you have nothing to fear from apostate political leaders, the apostate religious leaders, and the apostate church members of our day. Brother Jeremiah quickly learned that it was better to fear God than to fear men. The fear of men bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Those of us who preach and teach the word of God without compromise are going to face pitched battles, but we have been made defense cities by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to see God's instructions to the prophet Ezekiel running in this same vein. Verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 3. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of an hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go. Get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. That is Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now the message of God to both the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel is, do not fear the people, but rather deliver the rebuke to the people that God has commanded. Part of God's message to Ezekiel is that he will be preaching to a hard-headed people, but he is to be more hard-headed than they are. Remember, it's like an adamant flint. That's how hard their heads are. Ezekiel is to stand God's ground without compromise, even in the face of extreme resistance. Ezekiel is told that the people will not listen, but he must preach to them regardless. We have a New Testament parallel to these passages of Scripture over in 2 Timothy chapters 2 and 4. Listen to what the Holy Ghost has to say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Speaking to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 says this, and this is our charge today, folks. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That is a needful message today, folks. The message from these passages to those who have been called to the ministry is that they must openly and boldly declare the word of God, regardless of the people's reaction and their opposition to it. God even warns them that there will be a fight. We are told to earnestly contend for the faith. That means that there will be contention. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, another charge to the man of God is to watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. And folks, that charge is not just to the pastor, preacher, and evangelist, but it is to any man that claims to be saved. We need to stand up and earnestly contend for the faith. God is not pleased with our generation because we are not openly and boldly and accurately preaching and teaching the Word of God. We must not compromise on the Word of God, because compromise is the stuff of which Satan builds false prophets and false teachers. You must have the courage, if you are a Christian, to stand up and honor and glorify God in all your teaching and preaching. I want to thank you for joining us in this series.